Turn to the book of Exodus, if you will. Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus 20, and we do want to honor mothers. And, you know, as the saying goes, you wouldn't be here without her. Amen. Unless you came on a spaceship, and we don't want to know if you did, all right? All right, one verse this morning, and you'll recognize when we turn to Exodus 20, perhaps, that it's the first rendition, so to speak, of what you and I would know as the Ten Commandments. And so, of course, we're going to preach that command. It's the fifth command. And you know, of course, that for the Hebrew people, that, of course, they were written on stone, and that has a lot of symbolism in it. You know, they are weighty things, and God intended for these people to understand that they are weighty things. Literally, they have a lot of weight to them. But also, it is also the opinion of many people, including me, that every command that God ever gave to the Hebrew nation, indeed, every command that God ever gave to people, could basically be distilled into those Ten Commands. Some people, some Jewish commentators, Jewish scholars, go so far as to even call them the Ten Words, distilling them even more. But we understand that for those Hebrew people, for the nation of Israel, they were the basis of all law, were the Ten Commandments. And many of you are like me. You can remember in our own history of the United States of America where, whether we would admit it or not, the basis of our laws as well were God's laws. And so they have weight to them. They have importance to them. And with that this morning, let's look at verse number 12, where we'll read the fifth command, where God just simply says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, Dad, you'll have to forgive me. We're leaving you out today, for the most part. And so I've kind of twisted the wording a little bit to fit my background. I never did call my mother, mother. In our household, if I would have said mother, it was about like my mom saying my full name. Trouble. I just called her mama. And I'm not real sure what the correct spelling to that is, but yeah. So we're going to preach about honoring your mama. All right, let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you, God, for your word. And we do ask that you'd speak to us, Lord, and that you'd guide us. Lord, it's obviously one of the Ten Commandments. God has great weight, great importance to it, Father. And I pray, God, that that would be revived in our hearts through the preaching of your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. Well, in 2003, you may not remember back that far, but in 2003, there was a great heat wave that hit Europe. Now, please understand, when I say great heat wave, the top temperature was like 104 degrees. And I know for us, you know, that's like a hot spring day. But for people in other parts of the world where, you know, it gets like 80 degrees, you know, 104 is like, you know, have we dropped off the face of the earth into the pit of hell? That's what they might think about it. So please, I say that sort of tongue in cheek. But in 2003, the European continent was hit with what they call, it is called in history, the Great European Heat Wave, where temperatures did exceed in the month of August up to 104 degrees. Now that's significant because in that part of the world, it is like some parts of our United States. I think of the state of Colorado and other states where houses maybe are not equipped with air conditioning. Now, many houses, maybe I think of our house in Jamaica, we never had air conditioning. Air conditioning was open the windows and let the breeze off the ocean flood in. Many parts of the world don't have air conditioning simply because the temperatures don't really necessitate that. And that's much the way it is in France, which was one of the countries that was hit most or hit hardest by that European heat wave. Over 14,000, almost 15,000 people died in the country of France in that one summer within a 3-month period. All of them were heat-related deaths. 15,000 people. Most of the people that died during that time were older people. They were older people that were either living alone, or they were older people that had just simply been left at home by those that were given to their care. You see, it also happened to be that in a two-week period, many of those deaths occurred in a two-week period, but it also coincided with what happens in that part of the world when people go on holiday or on vacation. And so thousands of people passed away, died while their families were away on vacation. And of course, they came home to find their loved ones dead, and in many cases had been dead for quite a few days. And you can imagine the heartache and the heartbreak that that caused to those families. It was such a devastating consequence to the country of France that they enacted a law, Article 207 of French civil law, now states that the older children within a family have to, by law, care for their parents. And basically, that law was birthed out of that tragedy, what by anybody's estimation would be a tragedy, the 2003 European heat wave where almost 15,000 people, older people, died. Well, it is French law now. If you don't take care of your mom and dad, you can be put in jail. Now, that's pretty serious, isn't it? But I just say to you this morning that well before France ever thought about putting that in law, God put it in law. And God put it in law millennia before they even thought of doing that. And as serious as it was to the French government and to those people and to the families affected, it was serious to God, and God means for it to be serious to those Hebrew people to whom He spoke, but God also means for it to be a serious command to you and I to honor our mother, honor our mama. Well, notice with me, first of all, as we look in Exodus 20, verse number 12, the first thing I want to point out to you about this command, first of all, is the importance of this command. Now, notice with me that this is placed in a very interesting area, isn't it? It's placed in a very interesting area. Honor your mama is right alongside of thou shalt not kill or don't murder. Honor your mama is placed right alongside of thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor your mama is placed right along with don't be a thief or thou shalt not steal. And can't we honestly admit here this morning that when we think of dishonoring parents, that in no time whatsoever in human society have we ever equated not honoring parents alongside of adultery, thievery, and murder? When we think of those three commands, don't we typically think of chief commands? Those are things in which you can have your life taken. Those are heinous crimes. Those are bad crimes. But right alongside of those things, God places this command: you'd better honor your mama. So that should be a clue to you and I from the text of Scripture that in God's mind, it is just as important to honor your parents as it is to not be a murderer, as it is to not be a thief, as it is to not be an adulterer. It's a very important passage, very important placing. As a matter of fact, we know this as well. Before we even dive into the verse, we know this. As I mentioned to you, for the Hebrew community, there were two tables of stone. We know that, don't we? You've read Exodus 32, where Moses comes down off of the mount and he sees the Israelite people worshiping a false god. And Moses takes those two tables of stone and he casts them down on the ground, testifying to these people that they have broken God's law. And we know in those two tables of stone, that first table primarily has to do with God, with man's relationship to God. And that first command is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we understand, don't we, that if you don't keep that first command, then you have broken the rest of those commands. Because if God is not your God, you're not going to keep Sabbath day. And if God is not your God, you are going to make idols. And if God is not your God, then you are going to take His name in vain. And so we understand that first command really has significance on that first table. And in every aspect of the thought that if you don't keep that first command, you are not going to keep the rest of them. Well, the same is true on that second table as well, to some degree. And that first command on that second table, of course, is honor your mama. And we also should understand that, listen, when we transgress, when we fail in that area, then all of those other commands that have to do with human relationship are in jeopardy. We could just simply simplify it by saying this. Listen, God says if we don't get that relationship right, it's very likely that all of the rest of our relationships are going to suffer. We could even be so bold as to say, if you don't keep that one, the rest of those things are in jeopardy. I didn't take time, and we won't take time this morning, but I think you know that's true. Now, we hear about it a lot, don't we, that fatherless homes more often tend to be crime-filled homes. We've heard that statistic before, haven't we? Well, the same thing is true where there's not that mother figure, so to speak, that central element that God has designed for the human family. When that's gone as well, when that relationship is not what it should be, then all of the rest of those things are in jeopardy as well. It is that chief human relationship. So let's understand that first of all. Before we even dive into the command, it has a place of importance. Just like we would say, if you don't keep the first command, all of the rest of those are in definite jeopardy. We also ought to be, just for the sake of being succinct, just for the sake of being of having the same mind there, that if you can't keep that first command, then all of those other commands there are in jeopardy as well. It has a place of importance. God wants us to get this thing of honoring our mother right. Now let me say this as well before I dive into the passage. This morning we also have to consider that there are no perfect mothers. Now don't look at her when I say that, all right? It's a little advice there. There are no perfect mothers. But we would also say that there are no perfect children. Oh, you don't know my children. You don't know your children, maybe. There are no perfect mothers and there are no perfect children. So do you know what that means, my dear friends? It means that when God originally said this, He said it to sinners about sinners. And when God says it this morning, He is saying it to sinners about sinners. And I understand that there are varying degrees of sinfulness within mothers as well as within children, but still as of yet, God said it to sinners about sinners. And He said, you need to honor your mother. Now, you know, this time of year, May, June, is a great time. I think I'm just looking at our calendar and I'm looking at all of the anniversaries and all of that. Many of those things happen in May. You know, April, May, June, it seems like the time to get engaged. It seems like the time to get married, all right? Around that time, April, May, and June, which also means, Brother Schelling, that it's also the time to buy diamond rings. Do you know that there are no perfect diamonds? That they classify diamonds by cut, by clarity, and by color. And of course, cut, you know, is the design of the diamond there. And then carat, I should say, has to do with the weight of the diamond there. But then also the color of it. And you know, the most clear rating for a diamond is still the classification of D. And even within that classification of D diamonds, there is great variation as to the color of the diamond. Just simply put, there are no perfect diamonds. There are only diamonds that are perfect for her. The same thing's true about parents and children. There are no perfect parents, and there are no perfect children, but God, by His master design, has given those parents, those children, and those children perhaps the most perfect parent for them. And God says that to sinners, listen, you must honor your mom. You must honor your mother. It is a clear command from the Word of God. Can't we just see, can't we understand here this morning that even though perhaps we can look back and, You know how it is oftentimes that when we look at our mom or we look at our children, sometimes all we see are the faults. Isn't that true? Sometimes all we see are the faults. And we never think about those good things. We never think about those positive things that are within their mothering or within their being a child. We never think of those things. Sometimes we just see the faults. Can I encourage you? Can I challenge you this morning? Listen, there's a lot of good in that woman. And all of that good that is in that woman, God put in there and God nourished in her. God wants us to see the good. God wants us to cultivate that wonderful relationship with our mother. Notice with me, first of all, though, this morning as we look at the passage, notice the basic command. The basic command has to do with one word, honor. Now, you wouldn't think one word would be hard, would you? One word, honor. But specifically, honor yours. Honor yours. Now, we've seen throughout the Bible, haven't we, when we look at the passages having to do with married couples, isn't it always interesting to you how that Paul and other writers say to wives that they need to honor or respect their husband? And I'm just amazed. I'm like, who else would they, you know? And it may be that God says those things to help those wives and help those husbands. Listen, get your eyes off all of these other so-called fish in the sea and get your eyes on that trout that God gave you. It might be something like that. It's very similar to our passage here, that instead of thinking about all of the others and daydreaming about all of the other possibilities of what it would be like, just take it for granted that God gave you the one that you need and honor that one. Now, when we look at the word honor, it has this idea. Now, basically, the Hebrew word for honor there means to make heavy. All right, now, I'm not going to preach that this morning because that just doesn't turn out very good in preaching. But it has this idea. It has this idea to load her down. Load her down not with toil, not with trouble, not with remorse, but to load her down with good things has the idea of the word honor there. Basically, there are three things involved in the word honor. First of all, it means to consider her important. Now listen, mom is not just important when we need her. Mom is not just important whenever we're headed to school. Mom is not just important, you know, when we need someone to bail us out. Mom is always important. God intends for us to always consider mother important. Consider that God gave her to you and you to her. And for that reason alone, mom should be important to you. That is the one that God gave you. You know, each mother has her own specialness, doesn't she? Now, my mom's gone on to heaven, went to heaven in 2017. And as a child, you miss those kind of things. But the older you get, the more you reflect on how, at least I think you should reflect on how your parents are. Now, my mom was a very stern individual. I never really realized that as a kid. You know how that is. I just think everybody's mom is mean and grumpy and grabs you by the ears and twists it. That's what I thought. Everybody's mom is like that. My mom maybe taught the other moms that. I don't know. But we don't necessarily consider those things when we're a child. But you know what? The older I get, the more there are things in my mom's life that I appreciate, that I understand now. You know, maybe this is why she was like that. I've told you before about my mom was a fastidious housekeeper. I mean, she was obsessive. You know, what do we call it today? OCD. Mom had no idea what that was. I'm not sure that's what she had, but I do know this. She didn't like dust. It was like her personal war on dust. I can remember as a kid sitting in the, we'd be sitting in the recliner, I'd be sitting on the couch. And you know how the sunshine comes in and you can see all those little things? When my mom would see that, she would like hyperventilate, freak out. You know, something needed to be cleaned here. And she'd walk along the piano and run her finger. Oh, that'll never do. And I remember that about my mom, that she was a fastidious housekeeper. Well, I didn't realize until much later on, one of the reasons mom was like that is because the place she grew up as a kid had a dirt floor. I mean, it was all dirt. And listen, you can only, if when you sweep a dirt floor, you just make more dirt. It just flies around and gets on everything. And that is one of the reasons there. So it would benefit each and every one of us. Listen, again, to set aside maybe some of those negative things that we see about mom and understand that if God is sovereign, and I think that He is, then God gave that woman to us for a reason, and there are good things in her that perhaps we need in our own lives. So the first one has to do with consider her to be important. And secondly, honor means this. It means to make honorable, to make her honor honorable or add to her honor. And that is by actions to her in general. Add to her honor by your behavior. That's the idea of not just consider her important, but to make her honorable, add to her honor. That makes me remember a story I read years ago in a book called Train Up Your Child about Mike Pearl. And Mike Pearl tells this story in that book, how that when he was a five-year-old boy, he was walking home or walking out in the country with some of the older boys. And these older boys had stopped at an old abandoned warehouse and they were picking up rocks. And there were glass windows on the bottom row of that old warehouse. And they would chunk rocks at those windows and break them. This old abandoned warehouse. Nobody cared. It was kind of cool to throw those rocks and see the glass break. And all of the older boys were doing that. And then they looked at Mike, who was 5 years old, and they gave him some rocks. But Mike wouldn't throw the rocks through those windows. And he wrote in that book that the reason why I wouldn't do that is because it's not because I wanted to be cool like the older boys. I wanted to be considered tough like the older boys. But all I could think about was this wouldn't honor my dad. This wouldn't make my dad look good. If my dad knew I was doing this, he wouldn't like it. And so he wrote in his book, when I was a five-year-old boy, I just had to weigh that out. Do I want to honor my dad or do things that dishonor him? I want to honor him. Now, I'm saying to you, my friends, as a five-year-old boy, if a five-year-old boy can weigh that out in his mind, surely a 50-year-old man can. Surely a 35-year-old son can. A 35-year-old daughter can. That still, as of yet, our actions testify to our parents. Our actions speak to our parents, so to speak. Our actions should add to the honor that our parents have. It has this idea to make honorable. You know, there might be things in our life that we need to refrain from just for no other reason but this, that they don't honor our parents. You know, for teenagers, it might be things that you look at on the internet. It might be things that you're doing. It might be things that you're reading, associations that you make. And you know it wouldn't honor your mom. Well, I'd say to you that if you want to honor your mom, if you want to be obedient to the Word of God, you ought to get rid of that real quick. Amen? Can I say to us as well, sometimes as older kids, we think we're off of the hook. But can I just remind us that when this was originally given, it was written not to little. It's not a child's command. It's not written to five-year-olds primarily, but it's written to those who call themselves children, and that is you and I even today, isn't it? That we're still children, and still as of yet, we should behave in such a way as to honor them, honor their memory, to add to the honor. In other words, people ought to see M.W. Lorenz and say, you know that Melvin Lorenz, he must have been a good man, just simply based upon my behavior. That's part of what the word honor means as well, to make honorable. And then the last part of the word honor, it has this idea or definition as well, is to glorify. Very similar there, along with the idea of making honorable. It is to glorify her. That our actions ought to promote our mom. Make her proud that you are her child. Now, you know, of course, I was raised up in a home where we weren't Christians, not at all. My mom said to me the funniest thing one time. After I'd gotten saved, baptized, and part of a New Testament church there in Edmond, about 2 months later after I got saved, God called me to preach. I knew it just as sure as I'd been saved that God had called me to preach. And I remember going home to the kitchen there and sitting at the kitchen table, and my mother was there cutting up vegetables at the sink. And I remember telling my mom that God had called me to preach. Now, Lutherans didn't understand that. You know, they think it's like, well, do I want to be a doctor, lawyer, or do it? They think it's something that you just kind of do. They didn't understand that it's something that God lays upon your heart and how God leads you. I remember telling her on that day that God had called me to preach, and she did the funniest thing. She turned right around to me, still had the knife in her hand, which kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies. And she just looked at me square in the face and she said, "Brother Darrell, you know, I've been praying to God for a long time that He'd do that with you." Now, I'm talking at this point, my mom is a lost Lutheran. I don't understand that at all. I didn't get that then, and it kind of bumfuzzles me even to this day. But you know what I said that day, that morning, as Mom was cutting up those vegetables, getting ready to cook a stew that afternoon, I said to myself, you know, I wonder if that's true, first of all. And then secondly, if it is, wow. My mom praying for me, you know what that makes me want to do? It makes me want to be the best preacher that I possibly can be. It makes me want to be the best Christian that I possibly can be, first and foremost, primarily for the Lord. But it also wants me to, in some respect, to behave in such a way as to add honor to my parents, to make her proud. You know, I think sometimes we kind of lose that, don't we? You know how it is, moms, don't you, when your kids are little? They've got a coloring, they've got a crayon in their hand, and they've got a piece of paper there on the kitchen table, and they're drawing a picture there, and it looks like who knows what, and then they look at you and hold it up and say, "It's you." Well, that looks just like me. And you want to put it on the refrigerator, and that little child maybe will come out of the kitchen, you know, and hands on their hips, smile beaming. All of the older siblings, you know, are looking at it going, "Oh," because they got the same treatment from Mom. And for that moment, that child has made you proud. Or I think of sometimes when our children are homeschooled or they're going to school and they do well in school. You know, they weren't like me. Whenever I got my report card, I took the long way home. But if they've got straight A's or something like that, you know, they want to bring that thing home to Mom and they want to give it to Mom and they want to show it to her because they want to make her proud. You know, we kind of lose that sometimes, don't we? Older we get and we become moms ourselves and parents ourselves, and we really don't think about, you know, making her proud anymore. But I think because of the word honor and the importance that it has, that it still should be perhaps the mindset of many of us, all of us here this morning, that still we have a mother that we can make proud. As I said, my mom is in heaven. I don't know, but I'd still like to be able to make her proud. I don't know how it is in heaven, and you don't either. So give me a little space here this morning, will you? It might be this Sunday morning or next Sunday morning or last Sunday morning. As Mom's got some of the people gathered around together, she's probably giving them the elbow like she used to do in Dad when they'd sit in church and he'd be praying like that. She might be giving him the elbow going, "That's my boy, that's my boy." Well, she would probably say, "Sick him," but that was my mom, okay? Honor your mom. It means consider her to be important. Make her honorable, glorify her. Listen, you can still do that today. And I encourage you not to just do that today, but every day. But then secondly, look at it with me in verse number 12. Honor thy mother, and then notice this promise, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is a biblical compulsion. So we have a biblical command, but we also have a biblical compulsion that thy days may be long on the land. So we should understand, first of all, that this is a covenantal promise. So please understand that to the Hebrew people, God is saying to them this, that you, by your respect specifically to your mom, you will preserve your time in the promised land. Now that's an interesting statement, I think. If you will obey your mom, then it's a covenantal promise that your days may be long in that promised land. So in other words, when you begin to disrespect your mom, when you begin to disrespect your parents, please listen, then you create an atmosphere and you create a circumstance, you create an atmosphere of disrespect. And when you create that atmosphere of disrespect, it kind of has a trickle-down effect. So in other words, please follow along, that to the Hebrew nation, God is saying that when you don't respect your parents, then it's very likely that you're not going to respect other forms of government. You're not going to respect other institutions which I have placed in your life to benefit you and to help you and to shape you. In other words, when you don't respect your mama, please understand, to those people, it's a major indicator, if they didn't respect their mama, that very likely they're not going to respect God. That if they didn't respect their mama, very likely it is that they're not going to respect the lawgivers to whom God put over them. That if they didn't respect their mama, very likely it is that there's just going to be a trickle-down effect of disrespect to the Hebrew people. And when that is the environment, so to speak, for those people, an environment of disrespect, listen, they can only thumb their nose at mama so long. They can only thumb their nose at God so long. They can only thumb their nose at God's government for so long before they will be removed out of the land. Now, that's exactly what happened to the Hebrew people, isn't it? So please understand that just simply for those Hebrew people, by respecting their mother, I know dad's in it, but we're preaching about moms today. Amen. Just by respecting mom, then that respect has a trickle-down effect as well. Amen. Now, we like saying amen when we're... Now, here's the deal, all right? When we talk about that culture of disrespect, you know how us Baptists are? We're like, yeah, that's right. That's what's wrong with America right now. It is a culture of disrespect. Amen? Hey, when you've got people that take down the American flag and think that they can make a diaper out of it and think that they can set it on the ground and set it on fire, and when they say to you and I that, listen, there's no standard whatsoever, we can do whatever our mind can think of doing, when we have that kind of a culture, which is the culture that we have, then what we have is a culture of disrespect. Hey, when there's a... Can I just go a little bit farther? And can I say that when there's a policeman... I just saw that just this week. When there's a policeman in a school zone and that person sees the policeman and drives right by them, and no, it wasn't me, okay, and drives right by them as they do not care, that is a culture of disrespect. Hey, when we see the things we see in our culture today, we understand we have a culture of disrespect. And can I just say to you that the reason why we have a culture of disrespect is because many, 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 many years ago, instead of being obedient to parents, and we've always struggled with that as children, but instead of being obedient to children, there came up a generation that began to thumb their nose at mom and dad, thumb their nose at the law, yea, indeed, thumb their nose at God, and now we've got a mess. God said, listen, if you don't honor your mom, there's going to be a trickle-down effect here. And it's going to come to the place to where you're going to be so bad that I'm going to have to remove you out of the land. But if you'll honor that woman, then it's very likely you'll honor that God as well. We know that's true, don't we? Hey, you've heard it before, you parents, haven't you? That our children understand who God is by watching mom and dad. You know, it's one reason why a lot of kids get out of church. It's because God's the great God of heaven while we're at church, but He's, you know, kind of the guy that gets in our way of us doing the things we want to do when we're out of church. And so they learn a disrespect for God because they see that mom and dad don't respect God. And the basic fact of the matter is that our children will understand who God is and how God is in a lot of ways by who we are and how we are. And so when there is respect for mom and dad, then that turns over to a respect for God and a respect for law as well. I think almost any one of us, you know, we talk about police and I love the police. I was a policeman in the military for 4.5 years. I love the police. I think I love them and I respect them. Do I agree with it when they stop me? It doesn't matter because I broke the law. And I never get stopped anyway. I haven't had a ticket in at least 6 months, so I'm proud of myself. In a long time. But listen, we'll have a respect for them. There's a trickle-down effect. Now, it's interesting to me. Now, this is a covenantal promise to the nation of Israel. But you know that this is the one command that Paul singles out to the Ephesians. You remember that, of course. Hey, kids, you remember that verse, don't you? Ephesians 6, verse number 1. Children, they don't know it, huh? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then Paul goes so far as to say, and this is the first commandment with promise. Here's what he said in Ephesians chapter, let's see, Ephesians chapter number, well, it's in here. Oh, Ephesians 6, verse number 2, verse number 3. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, that's significant to you and I for this reason, because that is not spoken to Hebrew people. That is spoken to New Testament Christians. And as he is giving those familial relationships there, he says to the children, he infuses the law into a believer's life as a standard of conduct. Now see, here's what many people think today. We understand that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, Galatians. We understand that by the law that we know we are sinners. But once we come to Christ, you know, here's our attitude about the law. Psh, I don't need that anymore. Well, I beg to differ to you, friend, because Paul, in this specific instance, holds up the law as the standard of belief and the standard of moral practice to New Testament believers. So don't you come up to me saying, the law's for lost people. We don't need it anymore. I'll take you to Ephesians 6 and say, you do too. It still is a standard of moral conduct. So Paul says to these children in that Ephesian church, and yea, indeed to all children, listen, honor your mom and your dad, and then notice the promise that he attaches. This is the first commandment with promise. If you honor your mom and dad, it's going to go well with you. How many of you kids are like me? And you say, amen, brother. Because I know this, almost every time I didn't honor or almost every time I disobeyed my mom, it didn't go well with me. Didn't go well. As a matter of fact, in my notes, I've just condensed this point to this, that God is saying, if you want to keep living, you better start listening. Brother Darrell, my mom didn't know Bible one whit, but if I had a nickel for every time my mama said to me, boy, if you want to keep living, you better start listening, I'd be a billionaire. And Paul uses this passage and says to them, listen, this is a commandment with promise, but it's not a promise to Hebrew people. It's a promise to New Testament Christians, because what applied to them is still true for you and I, that in our homes, mom and dad, in our homes and in our society, when children fail to have respect to mom, then that has a trickle-down effect. They'll fail to respect God. Well, I don't believe that's happening. I've seen it happen. When there's parental disrespect, when mom and dad are permissive, you know, more often than not, you know why mom and dad are permissive? It's because we don't want to look bad. More often than not, the reason why mom and dad are permissive is because if that child is acting bad, then that means I've not done my job very good as a parent. And I would rather just think that I've done my job as a parent rather than discipline my child and perhaps demonstrate that I haven't done my job. More often than not, it's not about them, but it's about us and how we appear. But if you and I as parents would just get past that simple fact and realize that when I'm disciplining this child, whether that's spanking them or whether that's talking to them, whatever it may be, you're helping to instill respect in them. And if you instill respect in them, then 9 times out of 10, 95% of the time, maybe 100% of the time, when you instill respect in them, there'll be a respect that they have for God. Because they'll realize, listen, mama means what she says when she says it. And they won't wonder if God does. Because you will have trained them. By training them to respect you, you'll have trained them to respect God. I challenge you, parents, when you look at it like that, it really takes training to the next level, doesn't it? And Paul said, listen, it'll go well with you if you honor your mom and dad. But not only that, your days will be longer on the earth. He didn't say the land which the Lord your God gives you. But he said, listen, if you'll honor your mom, your days will be longer on the earth. Look at it. You can turn to Ephesians 6 if you want to. You don't have to. That thou mayest live long on the earth. I find that interesting. Now, please understand, he is not saying that if you don't honor your mom, she's going to kill you and you'll be dead and you won't live long on the earth. That's not what Paul's saying. Now, that may be true, but that's not what he's saying. But please understand what Paul is saying. The same thing was true for the nation of Israel. That when children, listen to me, kids and moms, whenever children respect parents, they create an environment of respect that has that trickle-down effect towards God, towards authority, towards the gospel. And just simply by a mom calling children to respect, simply by a child saying, I understand what the Bible says about that. I understand my mom's a sinner. I understand I'm a sinner too. I understand God said that to sinners. And by God's grace, I'm going to demonstrate respect. I'm going to honor my mom. I'm going to try my dead level best to make her proud of me as her child. The effect of that is possibly, if I'm understanding the verse right, and I think I am, that if it is the equal to the Old Testament verse, that by a child wanting to honor their parents, their mom in particular, that they create an atmosphere in this world of respect to wherein people will even respect the gospel. I think we can honestly say, couldn't we? I'm not out on a limb to where we live in a world where people really don't respect the gospel. And it may trace back simply to they just don't respect at all. And a great place to start that respect is at home. And a great place to start that respect is with mama. Is with mama. If my kids don't respect mama, big trouble. You know that, right? It's big trouble. I get fiery mad about it. I wonder what God thinks when we don't respect mom, when we don't want to honor mom, when we don't want to make mom proud, not just in the moment, but with all of our lives. It's the fifth commandment. It's the top of the second table. God says to each and every one of us, Old Testament or New Testament, listen, get that right. Honor your mama. Let's stand, please, this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The Lord's spoken to your heart, maybe. I know that many of you perhaps are like me. My mom's long gone to heaven. 4 years ago, this September coming up. Well, I just don't think it's one of the Ten Commandments. It's the top of that second table. You can argue with the interpretation, but it seems like it's right. We want to get, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We want to get that right. Well, surely we should want to get right, honor your mama. If that trickle-down effect is true, then our world would do much better if Christians like you and I would take that serious and demonstrate respect, find ways by being a good man, a good daughter, a good grandson, doing whatever we can to honor them Because listen, my friends, by honoring mom, we honor God. And that ought to be the heartbeat of every one of us. Lord, we love you and thank you for your word. I certainly pray, God, that you deal in hearts, Lord. We recognize, Lord, that sometimes we see the negative things in mom, and yet, Father, we trust that you've given us the perfect mom for us and that there are qualities in her that we need. And God, as it is your command, I pray, God, that you would help us. I pray, Father, that you'd help me to continue to try to live a life that not just honors you, but honors mom as well. That adds to her glory. People might look at me and say, Margaret sure did good raising him. There's nothing wrong with that. And still as an adult, Father, it seems like it's something that we ought to desire. I pray, God, as well for us as New Testament Christians, that God, that you would help us to see that just simply by our respect, our respectful attitude, our respectful spirit, we can perhaps create an atmosphere of respect, maybe not in all of the world, but at least in our part of the world. And Lord, by that, people very well will respect the gospel. And there'll be a prolonging, perhaps, of our days and of our time. Lord, we ask you deal in hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.